Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
All right. Well, welcome to healing class. I'm glad to be back. I told you we're going to do this together. Together we're receiving healing. At last time I spoke, if you remember, the microphone didn't work and I was kind of hollering and so. But life is that way. Life isn't perfect at all. It has a lot of different things. You could see now I'm in a healing phase too. And I want to say this. Some of you may be here and you're like, I'm dealing with something a lot more serious than this. And I totally and completely understand that. And God does too. But I also have dealt with something that medical science couldn't do anything to help me with. And God has healed me of that too. I have found that the principles are the same. God is a healer. He's so good, and he wants to help us with everything and with anything. So before we begin tonight, and as you could see, I'm in a healing process here. We're going to do this together. Let's pray, and I believe God wants to speak. Father, I thank you so much for your kindness and for your mercy, and that you are a healer and you forever will be. Thank you, Lord God, for hope that comes in hearts this night, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for the anointing on the Word of God that brings about a healing and a cure. And I ask you that everyone this night hears exactly what they need to hear, and they're able to respond to your goodness and your mercy, which is always available to us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, well, I want to share with you tonight what I sensed to share a lot with you is about having hope. If you're in faith, and when you have faith and you're believing and trusting God, there's hope in our faith. There's hope in trusting God. The same way if I make a cake, there's eggs in there. There's butter in there. There's things in a cake mix that are just part of it. Well, there's hope in our faith and trust and belief in God. Hope is a confident expectation of good, that God can do something good for me. Well, actually, you can have hope without it being in God. It's almost like a wish in that, okay, I believe something good can happen to me. But God is a God of hope, and when we hope in God and we hope in his promises, really good things can happen. Or Robert said it years ago. He said, something good can happen to you. And that's a hope that we can have. My situation can turn around. Whatever you're going through can turn around. And it doesn't matter how long you've had something. It doesn't matter how bad it's been. It doesn't matter what kind of diagnosis you've had. God is a God of hope. He's a creator of the heavens and earth. He loves you. He made you. And he absolutely knows how to fix you. And he wants to. Whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, God is a healer, and he can mend you, and he can sweeten up any bitter experience we go through. So I want to show you, too, there's one scripture here. If you know what I forgot to do? Lifting our Bible. We got to do that. Alan actually came up with this. If you have a Bible or you're reading it, this is my Bible. It's God's word to me. It strengthens me. It refreshes me. It's medicine to me. I love to read my Bible. Amen. How perfect. Now we're going to go to the Bible. The scriptures that have a medicinal quality on the inside of them. The first scripture I have here, and it's on a little paper I wrote for you, a little outline, is Job 14:7-9. Fascinating verse that I have always loved. For there is hope of a tree, if it's cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch will not cease. even though the root thereof is waxing old in the earth and the stalk dies in the ground, yet through the scent of water, it will bud and bring forth branches or boughs like a plant. I've always loved that because it's like there's still hope. If something looks like it's been too long, it's too old, it's already done or dead, through the scent of water, you can grow again. You can live again. God can get life to you. Water is likened in the scriptures to the word of God. God can send a word to you and give you a word that can bring life to you, that can quicken you, that can change a situation around. And tonight we're going to speak about how to grab a hold of hope, this hope that God has for you. He's a God of hope. And when you hope in Him, you'll have joy, you'll have peace in believing, I know that something good is going to happen at the end of whatever you're going through. You have to remember always, there's nothing too hard for God. And He loves you dearly. He's a very, very good Father. Anything and everything good that's ever happened in your life, it came from Him. The scripture says every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father. So if it was good and something good happened to you, it was from Him. And guess what? He wants to do that again for you. Let's talk a little bit about that word hope. It's a positive expectation of something good. I believe that something good can happen to me. Now, in the Hebrew word, it's spelt, as a Hebrew word, it's spelt tikvah, T-I-K-V-A-H. And it actually, in the Hebrew words, they're very picturesque. They're visuals. They do their language in visuals. And I like that. That helps me. I like visuals. The word tikvah or hope in Hebrew means a rope, a cord that's bound together, or a rope. So hope is like a rope. That's easy to remember, right? It came from the Old Testament, and I don't have time to go into this, but when a woman named Rahab was rescued by the children of Israel, they were going in to take the promised land. They were gonna fight for this city of Jericho. She hides them. And she's like, would you spare my family? Would you rescue us? And these two men that were spies that she spared and hid them, they said, yes, but throw a scarlet rope off the wall out of your window. And when we see that rope, we will rescue everyone in your house. And that is where the word hope comes from. Isn't that interesting? A scarlet rope, hope, something to grab a hold of. When we hope in the Lord, that rope will never break. You may feel like you're hanging by a thread right now with whatever you're going through, but if you hold on to the promises of God, if you hold on to how good and how kind that God is as a healer that He is to you, it will never break. It won't fray at all. Interesting that in Israel, the national anthem is called Hatikvah, the hope. It was written in the 1800s, and the words of it are, we as the Jewish people will someday have a land of our own. It was written in the 1800s. 71 years before, in 1948, they did have their own land. Interesting, they sang a song, which is now the national anthem of Israel, the hope, Hatikvah. Interesting. And it's a rope. It's something that we hold on to. Now, I'm going to go through, and we're talking about some different principles in here in healing class. I'm going to go back to the story of Naaman, and that we find in 2 Kings 5, One thing I have always liked to do is I like to read something over and over and over again. And each time I read it, God gives me help. He shows me things I hadn't seen before. I've taught this before. I kept reading it as I was coming off of a lot of medication after surgery. I kept reading it and reading it and reading it, and I saw things I never saw before. I don't think it was medication. I think it was just God revealing something to me too. So here we go. We're going to start off reading this in 2 Kings 5. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she says to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." And Naaman went in, told his master, saying, "Thus and thus said this little girl who's from the land of Israel." Then the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I'll send a letter to the king of Israel." Now, Naaman, as we pause here, is an honorable man. He does not know God at this point at all. Neither does the king of Syria. And I think it's so interesting that the victory he had, it says in the scriptures, the Lord gave it to him. He probably didn't know that the Lord had given him victory. Probably the king of Syria is like, "This man's so valuable because I won with him," not realizing it's God who gives victories. And that's why any good thing that happens to you, it comes from above, because every good gift and every perfect gift is from the Father. Now, I'm going to tell you here, as I read this, I saw where Naaman had hope. How did he have hope? He heard the words of a little girl. If you were just back in Israel, there's a prophet there named Elisha, and he could heal you of leprosy. He hears from God, God speaks to him, and there's healing that can come to you back in Israel. Well, this little girl, a young little quiet little voice, brings hope to Naaman. He goes immediately to the king. The king sends him before the letter even gets to the king of Israel. He's like, "Go quick." He takes money, he takes clothes. He's like, "I'm gonna go because there's maybe hope that I can be healed." Now think about it. We move off of hope if we think that there's a certain treatment that can help us. People travel miles. They travel all over the place. "I want to get to that doctor. I need to get to MD Anderson. I need to go here." Why? Because there's a hope of recovery. There's a hope of healing. There's something in you that says, "I want to be better. I want to be free of pain," or "I want to have peace." And you know why that's in you? Because that's in God for you too. He wants you well. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to be able to sleep at night and to have peace. He is a healer. And so it's good for you to want to move towards what will help you. And we do that in the natural. I want to encourage you, though, we can move closer to God, the God of heaven and earth, who can bring healing to us. But let's continue here in this story. Before I go to the next part of the passage, that letter gets to the king of Israel from the king of Syria. And he goes, "Oh, I'm sending Naaman, my servant, to you. And I just want you to know that I'm sending him so you can heal him." Well, the king of Israel's like, he rips his clothes. He's really upset. And he says, "Why would he do this? I'm not God. I can't heal anyone." And he's right. "I'm not God. I can't do it." And he's all upset. He says, "He's trying to pick a fight with me. That's probably what this is." Well, Elisha, and if you want to remember your prophets, Elisha is the one, he has the shiny head. He's bald. That's how I remember him, because there's Elijah and Elisha. This is Elisha. And he says, "Why are you getting so upset? because I can tell them to come to me. I know God. He hears from God. Tell them to come to me. I'm not afraid of leprosy. Leprosy was a horrible thing. Leprosy was a sure sign that someone wasn't going to live. Their life was over with at that point. And there are some diagnoses now. Maybe you've had one that seems like it's no good news for me. Unless you know a God of hope. Unless you know a Father who absolutely loves you and can heal you of anything. And He does. So Naaman gets there, and the king says, okay, I'm going to send him to you, Elijah. Let's pick up from there. Naaman goes to Elijah, and he comes with his horses and his chariot, and he stood at the door of Elijah's house, and Elijah sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh will be restored to you, and you'll be clean. Sounds simple enough, right? But Naaman becomes furious, and he went away and he said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Aren't Arbana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all these waters of Israel? Ooh, he's starting to like get a little bit like, these waters in Israel aren't that good. He's showing a little like despising there. Couldn't I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And right there, he could have lost his healing. And last time we spoke, we talked about not carrying anger or sorrow in your heart. You can walk away from some things of God. But what's beautiful about this whole passage is he adjusts. He listens to another little voice. Okay, here we go, the next verse. And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, think about this. If the prophet had told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? How much more then when he's just saying, wash and be clean? Like, could you just rethink this? I just want to pause here. If there's a little voice or a nudge in your life going, reconsider this. Think about this, maybe. Just ask if it's not the Lord. The Lord, He tries to get truth to us. Listen how He's speaking. He's speaking through a little maid girl. He's speaking through servants. He's speaking through a man of God. He's speaking. And He's speaking to you too. He speaks more than we think. And He's like, would you just reconsider and wash? And Naaman does. He humbles his heart. He does what he doesn't want to do. And it says, so he went down and he dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean or clear and healed. Now, I would love to think, what did his face like look like when he got in the water? Like, okay, count, you know, just somebody. Just, I didn't want to do this, but he listens and he does it. And he adjusts. I love that about God. It's not that we do it perfect. He got angry. Don't we all? We think something's going to happen a certain way, and it doesn't happen like we think that way. It doesn't always happen. And you have to go, thank you, Lord God. You help me. I'll adjust. What do you need me to do? So he dips and he comes out clean. He didn't do it 3 times. He didn't do it 5. He did it 7. It said he did according to what was told him he did. Now, when he came out clean, he could have gone, well, it's a good thing that Elijah told me that. I'm just going to go home now. No. He went back very tender in his heart. In this last verse here, he returned to the man of God. He and all his aides, and he came and he stood behind him and he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. There's a real tenderness of heart here because he's like, what can I do? I want to give something. But listen, he doesn't say, Elijah, you're just like amazing, incredible. You gave me that word. He also didn't go, can I take some of that water from the Jordan? There's something about the Jordan, that water there. He said, now I know that God, there's a God in Israel. Now I know. He goes on later and says, I'm going to worship this God all the days. Now I know who God is. Listen, no matter how God uses things to help bring healing and health or strength to your body, it's God who is the healer. And too often, don't we all, it's easy to think it's, and we can do it easily. It's the diet, it's the medication, the treatment. God uses those things, but he made you. He's the healer. And he'll give you hope when medical science actually can't give it to you anymore. Or it's not working too good. Have you ever had that happen? It's kind of disappointing, right? It's discouraging. But if we have God and we know he's the healer, I love this part of this passage. I hadn't seen it before. He's not giving glory to a person, a thing, a method. He's like, now I know there's a God. And I want to do something and give something in that sense to show my appreciation in my heart. There's a real tenderness of heart here that we see in Naaman. Now, I want to show you something, too, that I think is so interesting in Luke. I had it. In Luke, it says this. In Luke 4:27. There were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elijah the prophet, and none of them were cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. There were a lot of lepers. None of them were cleansed except him. But in some verses ahead of it, it said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. So in other words, sometimes someone isn't going to receive a word of the Lord. If you're too familiar with someone, I don't know, I don't want to have to take that. And maybe you have kind of thought lightly about some of the words of God. Sometimes we have. If you receive and accept a word of God, when no one else got healed of something, you can. There were many lepers. Naaman's the only one. He accepted the word of the Lord that came through Elijah, and he received that. I think that's just fascinating. I love that. You have to receive those things, and you can. Remember, it's a rope, and it's not a rope that's not attached to something. If I'm a rock climber, I'm hoping I have a rope attached to something, right? Hopefully in between a rock with a clasp, you pull on that thing, and it's attached. I like to think of it, my hope, my rope is attached to the promises of God and to the one who gave the promises, to the one who loves me. He's a healer. That's what I'm tugging on. That's what I'm holding on to. That's my rescue. And that's all of our rescue, our salvation, our healing, our peace of mind. And I love that. And that's why the promises of God, oh my goodness, they're gold. They have medicine on the inside of them. They give us a future. They show us things to come. It's a wonderful, the words of God. Now, I want to tell you a story that happened here. I think it was around maybe 2007-ish, I'm thinking. I have the date, not exactly. But we had a family come in here to healing class called the Kavapal family. And the Kavapal family, he was a doctor, and his wife was named Amy. They brought their 18-month-old baby. And they came and they said, Derek, Janet, and I, we heard you pray for healing. Would you anoint my baby with oil? Pray whatever you want to pray. We need healing. Our baby had a cancerous tumor, 18 months old, and is starting to take chemotherapy. We're like, no problem. We will pray for your baby. We laid hands on the baby, put oil on the baby. And when we finished, he only had a few words at 18 months, and I said, amen. He said, done. I said, oh, don't forget that word, Mom, done. It's done in the Lord, past tense. This is done. Now, she had her scriptures. She fought. She stayed. She came to healing class. That happened right here. Dr. Kavapal said that his baby's liver was covered 75% with cancer. He said, I know the prognosis of that as a doctor. Guess what? Roman is in Baylor College today. He's completely healed and made whole. Interesting, too, I got to tell this part of the story. There's so many parts of this story that I haven't been able to tell. She said, little Amy Kavapal, she carried a spiral notebook with all her healing scriptures wherever she went, if she was in an office or anything. She said to the oncologist, because I was like, how did you even find us? She said to the oncologist, how many survivors are there? Babies that survive this chemo. She said, the doctor said to her, paused, waited, seemed somewhat uncomfortable, and said, one. And you know what that mama said, Amy? She said, then we'll make two. That's hope. Something good's going to happen in my situation. Something good's going to happen to my baby. And our baby's in Baylor College now. Completely healed. That happened in this room. And that is happening now to you. Healing mercies. God's words to you. He wants it for you. It's who he is. And it's in his word. Isn't it wonderful? It's not too hard at all. It seems so little, you can miss it. So let me show you this. Psalm 119:81. My soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. My hope is in your word. That's what I'm grabbing hold of. The word of God will give you hope. There's hope, there's help, there's healing in the scriptures. That's why you want to read the scriptures all the time, even if you don't understand it. Listen, as I've been recovering and had to come off of medication from this surgery, I couldn't tell you a lot of what I was reading. I didn't feel like I was comprehending much, but I kept reading. And I kept reading, and I kept reading the scriptures. Because the scriptures, you got to think of it like a treatment. There's a medicinal quality in them. And you keep reading, I'm telling you, something's going to lodge on the inside of you. Every word of God can help you. And when you get it in you, he can begin to speak a word to you at a given time, too. Now, I'll tell you that this situation that I had, the surgery, went a lot different than I was thinking. I just was thinking pretty light about it. I didn't think it would be this big. I didn't actually think I would have the pain level I did. I don't know what I was thinking. Maybe I wasn't listening when the doctor told me, or maybe he forgot to tell me some things. Have you ever had a treatment and you're like, you didn't tell me this part? I didn't know this part at all. Like, where was I? So there was a lot more pain with this than I was thinking. And I kept just speaking a scripture that came to me. You can speak half a scripture and it still works. You can speak, I trust in you, Lord, with all my heart. I trust in your word. I trust in you, Lord. I trust in you. And you're grabbing hold of God as you're speaking that scripture. You're grabbing hold of a God of hope who's turning your situation around for good. I kept saying, my soul does magnify you, Lord. My spirit will rejoice in you, my Savior. I'd go to bed like that as I was uncomfortable. And I talked to the Lord. I want to encourage you, talk to the Lord. Real natural, just like you generally do. Don't get mad. Don't get irritated and things like that. Just talk to him. I said, you know, Lord, I'm having a really hard time. I didn't expect the pain. This, like, really kind of threw me a little bit here. I don't know what I was thinking. I need some help here. Now, because I read the scriptures, I had one come to me. It's like it interrupted a thought pattern. Ooh, I'm in pain. But then this scripture came to me. I didn't exactly know where it was. I know it's somewhere in the little books before Revelation. And it's a scripture that says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I went, okay, but it doesn't really like answer the pain. But I'll just say that. Greater are you that's in me than this situation that I'm in right now. Greater are you, God. Greater are you. Greater. I began thinking about how great God is. It was the one thing in math I knew how to do, greater than and less than. I was like, yay, I knew addition, I knew greater than and less than. So I'm like, okay, greater than. God is greater than this. And I started saying, you're greater than pain. Greater are you in me, you're greater than pain. You're greater than pain. You're greater than pain. You're greater than pain. My soul does magnify you, Lord. I trust in you with all of my heart. And I kept saying it. I want to encourage you, don't quit. Don't quit. Keep going. Keep going. Keep going. The enemy would want you to quit. He'd want you to stop. He'd want you to think, you're not going to get it. You made a mistake. You didn't do it right. I had those thoughts. I went, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Greater. Greater. You're greater, Lord. You're greater. And on day 10, the pain lifted off of me. Is that scriptural? Yeah. He says he bore our sicknesses and pains and carried grief away. That word bore means NASA lifts off. The same way if you take a Tylenol, and all of a sudden, your headache, you get relief. You're like, whew, I'm so relieved. It lifts off. Sickness, diagnosis, depression can lift off of us. Lift off. It can be carried away from you. Even if it wasn't carried away from anybody else in your family or anybody else you know, it can be carried away from you. You can be the one that receives. You can be, why not? Why wouldn't you be the one? You can. And that's exactly what God wants for you. Now, when I'm talking about speaking the scriptures, when you're in pain, speaking these different things, that would be no different than how Naaman goes down and dips in the word. It's immersing yourself in the scriptures. You're gonna talk the scriptures. You're going to read the scriptures. You're going to go under again. You're like, I'm going to take the scriptures and make them a part of my life. Remember that Naaman did exactly what was told him to do. Had a little of adjustment, but he did what he was told to do. When you get a scripture that comes to you, obey that scripture. What I love about the scriptures is they have a little direction in them, and often sometimes even a little correction in them. That's okay. Little heart corrections can position you to receive healing. God can do something on the inside of you that brings you so much peace. Healing happens on the outside. The Bible says a sound heart is the life of the flesh. So sometimes a soundness on the inside in your heart can actually bring healing to your flesh. Isn't that amazing how that works? Now let me read you here in the Amplified version of Proverbs 4, 20 to 22. It says, "My son, attend to my words, consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart, for their life unto those who find them, their healing, health, and medicine to all their flesh." I love this. This is a one-size-fits-all scripture. All your flesh, any kind of disease, the scriptures can bring healing and help and hope and change that situation around to you. But take that word as you're speaking it. There may come something like, let's say I'm doing the Lord's Prayer. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil." What if I'm reading that and I'm like, "Forgive those who trespass against me"? Does that mean I need to forgive someone who really did me wrong? Who really made me mad? Yeah. Yeah. And it's amazing that when you tend to that scripture, allow that scripture to work in you, and do that scripture like Naaman. You know, sometimes you're like, "I don't want to." What difference does it make? Little things with God make a big difference. But they're never too hard for us to do. They're usually just little heart adjustments. And if you've had a hard time with forgiveness, ask the Lord to help you. "Help me, Lord. I don't feel like forgiving, but I want to." I remember praying one time when I was praying for the pancreas, saying, "Lord, would you give me your will? I want your will, your kingdom to come, but I don't know if I have much of a will to live. Would you help me with that?" If you ask him and you're sincere and you're reading the scriptures, he will answer you. You'll be surprised how God can get an answer to you, and it'll heal you. So that's how you begin to immerse yourself with the scriptures, and that word, the word of God, is likened to water, will wash and cleanse and heal you. It's medicine to all your flesh. And believe me, whatever you're dealing with now, there'll always be something you deal with. There's always be things that we have to trust God for. I've seen God heal my pancreas. I've seen him heal my eye, my foot. I mean, there were many things that I've had to ask God. And you know, he's always been faithful. And I know he forever will be too. And that's why, just lastly here, I want to talk about keep your heart tender before the Lord. I love this part about Naaman, that he goes back and he's like, "Now I know that God is God." Always keep your heart tender. Always have a reverence for the Lord. It's really good to do that. And sometimes that's the correction we have to make. We've just been too casual, too not as tender, reverent as we could be. And the scriptures say this in Proverbs 19:23, "The fear of the Lord leads or tends to life. It brings you security and protection from harm." When you're tender and you fear God and you love him and you acknowledge him, you're moving right towards life. When you're coming to church, the fact that you're here, you're reading your Bible, you pray, you're leaning right towards life. And where God can help you, and he wants to help you, he's so good, he's a healer, and he forever will be. So I have to tell you one last story here. Now, I just told you about Roman, right? And the Cavapo family. And when she asked the oncologist, she said, how many survivors are there? And they said, one. Well, Amy Cavapo found, she sought out, who's that one survivor? Who's that mom whose baby survived? And it was a young little gal named Heather Nichols, who came to us about 7 years before. Her baby, 4 months old, had a cancerous tumor. Heather had never heard that God was a healer. She thought maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. She didn't know. She came to us, she came to healing class. I want to tell your story someday too, and I believe I will, because I'm telling Heather's story. She came to healing class. She said she'd be up and she'd read her Bible. She said, we said to her, start to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. She says, I read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. She said, and it didn't take me long to go, Jesus heals there, and Jesus heals there, and Jesus heals a leper, and Jesus heals a blind person, and Jesus heals someone with a fever, and Jesus heals someone with seizures, and he heals, and he heals, and he heals. He's a healer. She's like, would you heal my baby? Would you heal my daughter? And she had the scriptures. Janet used to talk to her when she was on her way to MD Anderson. She's like, I need a little bit of encouragement. I need someone to encourage me that this is God, that I have hope. This is going to change for my daughter. Every time she went for years, there were spots of cancer. But she'd speak the scriptures and speak the scriptures. One day, she says, she's speaking the scriptures. And her little daughter started speaking them too and saying, that's right, I'm healed and I'm coming through and someday I'm going to be double digits. At 7 years old, she was completely clear. A 7-year fight. She didn't give up. We don't give up. There's hope. The scriptures say, if a tree is cut down, if it waxes old, if it looks like it's dead, through the scent of water, it can come alive. She didn't give up. No matter how long it took, 7 years, she's clear. Guess what? Little Kentley, she's a mama now with 2 children, totally healed and clear. Who gave the healing? God did. And guess what? It carried on to another family, and that's what God has for you. Your victory that God gives you is somebody else's. Isn't he good? Mm-hmm. So let's pray. Father, I just thank you so much for everyone here tonight, for your healing mercies and your kindness to them, and that you sent a word to them that not only gives them hope and a rope to hang on to, Father, but Lord, brings healing and deliverance and a freedom they never even knew they could have. A soundness of heart, good sleeps at night, and joy in their best days yet. I thank you, Father, that their victory is someone else's too. Thank you, you're sweetening up all of life. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.